Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
I don't think we are connected.
Oh. Well, I started the show. I hope they heard that. If not, then...
I didn't hear it, so I don't know.
All right. Well, we'll just go with that. But what I was saying was 2016 Olympics underway here. A lot of good competitions going on so far. Have you been able to catch much of it so far?
Yeah, I was kind of able to catch up a little bit today. Had a little bit of a crazy weekend, but yeah, no, it's been exciting so far. A lot of storylines we have to go over. Obviously going to be a little U.S. centric, but yeah, no, a lot of stuff to talk about there.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, by your weekend plans, you had the Warrensburger to attend. So, or I guess,
it was a rager, let me tell you.
Yeah, definitely jealous I couldn't be there, but you know, work calls. So
right, maybe next time.
But yeah, definitely next time. But yeah, I guess we should kind of just kick off here with our picks from last week. Guess we'll start off with our baseball game that we had Friday night. We went Red Sox and Dodgers. It was in L.A., Stephen Wright versus Rich Hill, but it ended up not being Rich Hill. Actually, Scott Kazmir started for the Dodgers in that game, and the Red Sox went on to win 9-0. But I am petitioning this. I'm going on strike on this because I thought it was Rich Hill. If it had been Rich Hill, they would have won.
Oh yeah, you're playing under protest now.
Yeah, this pick is under protest. We're gonna have a little a little mark beside it here.
We might as well just throw out all the picks this week then, since you know, since one of them didn't even happen, and yeah,
that's
I mean
true.
it's apparently it's a lost cause if you're gonna call foul on a pitcher not starting. But the guy who was scheduled to start and did start, Stephen Wright, actually had a pretty good game. 3-hit shutout, 9 strikeouts for the knuckleballer. So it was definitely working for him that night.
Yeah, I'd say he had a pretty good night. Had everything going. He's probably been the Red Sox best pitcher this year. Even though they have a man signed there for $217 million, Stephen Wright, the knuckleballer, like you said, is the Boston's number one go-to guy right now. But I don't know how much you can rely on that if they make it to the postseason. So I still think we'd see David Price. But the Red Sox are a good team. That offense is really good. If they can figure out their pitching a little bit here, I do like the move. That they had with Clay Buchholz, moving him to the bullpen. So I think the Red Sox are in decent position right now. They just need some help with their starting pitching.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of teams in the mix right now in the American League. Red Sox are definitely up there. I do think that they might be behind some other teams, but yeah, if they can kind of solidify that pitching staff and get a starter along to go along at least with Steven Wright to kind of be more consistent, then yeah, they'll be looking good.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, they can score with anyone. They can hit with anyone, I believe. So I do think it'll definitely come down to their pitching. And if you can get David Ortiz into the playoffs, he's about as clutch as they come. So it would also be really cool to see.
Yeah, can't forget that. Right. But yeah, no, like you said, as for the offense, they're ridiculous in that game alone. They had 3 home runs. The top to bottom of that lineup is going to score.
Yeah, most definitely. So, that was the only baseball game we had. We did pick the football game on Sunday, but like you said, it got canceled
That's kind of its own discussion.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a little bit, but it did get canceled due to the field conditions, so we're going to just kind of not use that pick there. So we move on to UFC Fight Night on Fox Sports 1 Saturday night. I actually watched this card in and out of sleep. I had been sick all weekend for the most part, and all day Saturday I basically went to bed at like 3 p.m. and woke up for the fights.
Oh.
And I slept between each fight, but I made it through each fight. And we started off a co-main event, Dennis Bermudez versus Ronnie Jason. Bermudez pretty much just dominated like I thought he would. I did think Bermudez would get to the point that he'd break Ronnie Jason and be able to either get him to tap or finish him with the TKO in the last round. But Ronnie Jason held tough and hadn't been in there in 13 or 14 months, maybe a little longer than that. Definitely been over a year. And so you can always you can never count out ring rust being a possibility. But I think Bermudez is just on another level. I think he's ready to go and try and get that 145-pound title. He reminds me of a Frankie Edgar type fighter, but I think he's a little bigger than Frankie, and I think he could do really well against some upper echelon guys. So I think we'll start seeing that. And that's pretty much what I got from the co-main event.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you were able to stick it out and able to hang in there and watch them all. I'm picturing you on the couch, just IV in your arm. Gotta make it. Gotta keep going. Keep watching these fights. But as far as that fight, I was actually able to catch a little bit of that, and yeah, Bermudez just kind of beat up on him. A lot of takedowns there. Had him bloody, real bloody there at the end. Just too much for him.
Yeah, he's definitely relentless. Like I said, Frankie Edgar, Clay Guida, any of those guys, I think you put Bermudez right in the category of those guys. Time will tell if he's championship level material. We know Edgar is. Guida never really was. He came close a couple times, never could really get over that hump to get on championship level. I think Bermudez does have a good shot at fighting for a title or even winning one. So I think he matches up well with some of the top guys, especially guys like Conor McGregor I guess Chad Mendes doesn't really matter right now, so because he's suspended. So, I think Bermudez would match up well with quite a few of those guys. And, so I guess that will take us to the main event here, which was another featherweight bout, and a fight that I think a star was born. And Yair Rodriguez, he came in this fight 7-1, never really had too much of a challenge in the UFC in his career so far. But Alex Caceres came to fight. They put on a 5-round war. I thought this fight was huge for Yair going forward. It showed that he can't just finish anyone. There's going to be guys that can take it. It never really seemed to get to him, and he was just able to keep his game plan going. Only got taken down once by Caceres, was able to get right back to his feet, which is where he does most of his work and his best work at. So I think Rodriguez, this is a good fight for him, and I think fights like this are great when they can happen early in a fighter's career. We do see some guys that just kind of roll through guys, and then they just have this halt all of a sudden with some of the top guys, and it takes them by surprise, and they aren't able to withstand it and finish it out. So I thought this was huge for Yair, and the 145-pound division has a new guy that could be a champion. So what do we say, Bermudez versus Rodriguez after this?
That's where I was going with that next. I mean, obviously, yeah, if you obviously have a lot of confidence, if as you say, a star is born, then yeah, then would that be the next step?
I would imagine so. Yair's really young. It's just really going to, I think, depend on what kind of damage those guys took. Yair did fight for 25 minutes, so you never know what could have happened. He could have broke a finger, a knuckle, a hand, whatever it may be. Things that he didn't even know happened until after the fight because of adrenaline and stuff. So we'll just have to wait and see. But I think it makes sense. They'll obviously be right around the same time, be ready to fight again. And two of the top guys at 145, and their styles really really clash. So like we know, styles make fights, and I think that would be a very interesting fight in the 145-pound division.
Yeah, no, definitely. Assuming, yeah, they're both back on track to for their next fights to be healthy again. I mean, there's no reason not to. Yeah.
Yeah, but one thing UFC does have to be careful with, I do think sometimes they match guys up too soon before they can kind of get that star power, and they kind of ruin some potential at building a division. I think they'd be safe here with Hunter. I mean, what do I know? They obviously are the one making the shots, but they, I think they have a lot of room to work with 145. I think there's a lot of upcoming guys and a lot of top challengers. And of course, there's going to be kind of a block at the top right now with whatever Connor wants to do, apparently. And I think they should go ahead and make a fight like this, or at least get these guys in there against some other top guys. So, but me saying that is because I do want to say I hope they don't match up Lewis and his name just slipped me, but the guy he was fighting on a couple fights ago. Both guys are really young, upcoming heavyweights, and heavyweight division has been down for a long time. It's not very deep, and I think it'd be a mistake to match put those guys up this early. So I would hope they wouldn't do that too many times and not do it here. So, yeah. So,
yeah, unfortunately, that might just be a side effect of the division just being not that deep. I mean, you kind of have to strike while you can. Hopefully, yeah, you can get these guys – are young and hungry and trying to prove something, and maybe you can get some, I don't know, some excitement out of that.
Yeah, definitely, because the heavyweight division, we thought maybe Cain Velasquez would be a guy that kind of dominated it for a little bit, but that hasn't really turned out to be true. So always working to make that heavyweight division great, because if you have a great heavyweight division, you're definitely going to have fans tuning in to watch your fights. Because sometimes guys don't like these smaller guys. I didn't look at the numbers, but I bet Rodriguez Caceres didn't make nearly as many views as the free card the 2 weeks before. So, I just think it's... You definitely
want
those heavy guys, the heavier guys.
Yeah, no, I believe it. Sometimes, for some reason, it does seem more fun when the guys are bigger. Kind of that, you know, harder they fall kind of mentality, I guess. But, I mean, Brock Lesnar get hit in the face?
Yeah, I mean, apparently he doesn't, because He will do anything to prevent that.
But he surrounds himself with positive people, so he's okay.
He does. He does. Yeah. I think that's more. Never mind. Anyway, I do think, I don't know. Like you said, yeah. The harder they fall, I just think it's those guys hit harder. They're stronger. You're more likely gonna get a one punch KO. But those little guys, you're not gonna find better technique anywhere. Those guys throw and they can go all five rounds without looking like they just ran 20 miles. So,
Definitely, yeah. From throughout all weight classes, definitely impressive the dedication it takes and yeah, like you said, the technique that you can see and that a lot of these guys work so hard on and women too. It's really, really impressive.
Yeah, most definitely. So, I guess that kind of brings us to our upset picks here. Not going to really talk about those. I picked Jeff Gordon or Dell Jr. to win at Watkins Glen. Neither one of them did. They finished 14th. Ended up being Jeff Gordon racing for Dell Jr.
Oh,
again,
good.
As he recovers from concussion.
Still,
syndrome.
Still having symptoms,
so,
apparently. No, mine was – I was wrong. The Giants beat the Phillies. Denard Span hit a go-ahead home run in the 10th inning. So,
yeah,
that was a bad deal. Apparently, the only pick I got right was tainted in your eyes, so I guess I did pretty bad this week.
pretty tainted, because
I'm 1-for-4 with an asterisk, apparently.
Yeah. One of three, because the Hall of Fame game doesn't count. So
then call me A-Rod, because I'm retiring.
Gosh, I completely forgot about that. That could be something we could have talked about tonight.
Yeah, no, I got plenty of random topics if we you know, have
did
the
you
time,
not,
which
did you,
I doubt it.
Did you not get all the fake vibes in the world listening to that press conference Sunday?
I didn't see really much of it, but no, I mean, that's kind of been his MO. People don't really feel that he's genuine.
No, it didn't seem that way either on Sunday. So, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to like that guy anymore. Like, you want to feel for him. I did feel for him a few times, but it felt like that's what he was trying to make me do, and he didn't really care that much. So.
No, I was just thinking about it a little bit, and it's so weird, because this guy, he should be celebrated. I mean, Derek Jeter got a year-long, basically, a parade, and now David Ortiz is getting the same thing, and A-Rod's retiring on a Friday in August.
and people are, I hate to say it, but I think a lot of people are happy. I think a lot of people are going to be happy to see his face gone. Even though I don't think it's going to be gone, I think we're going to see Alex Rodriguez's face for the next 30 years with whatever network he joins. Because I think he's a great analyst of baseball. I think he knows the game really well. I think he would be great at that. But it's just hard to like him as a player, just really, really hard to like him as a player. And he also left himself open to continue to play. I guarantee you, if a team calls him, he's going to play again. We'll see A-Rod again, because his ego is too much that he can't be sitting on 696 home runs.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing. Oh my gosh, we're just diving into this Alex Rodriguez right now.
Yes, we are.
I don't know. That is, I think I do. I think that, yeah, him being a broadcaster could definitely help him reclaim his image. Obviously, over the last decade, it's just been not good for him, or at least when he is in the news, it hasn't been exactly positive. I don't know. He's obviously, he's lumped in with Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa and that era. So that definitely doesn't help anything, but hopefully that whole broadcasting thing works out for him when he is done, because I think that's the only way people could ever possibly like him again.
Yeah, and I think that would be younger generations that would even
that,
like him again.
That
they
wouldn't
don't know
even
who
really
would
realize what he did.
Yeah, maybe look at
not the bad stuff, but like what he did
as
a player, even, because that's what I'm talking about. Is he's, I mean, you know, he's this like 4 home runs short of 700. Like, that's not easy to do, but he's not really getting any recognition for it.
No, I mean, how many other guys are taking steroids, and how many other guys have 696 home runs? I mean, the guy was good. He was damn good, but I don't think it was. He lied to us 3 times. He tried to make us all think we were stupid.
And
I wouldn't be surprised
and
if he was taking
as far
steroids.
As people,
I wouldn't be surprised if he was taking steroids in Seattle.
Oh no, totally. Of course. Yeah, no, I totally believe that. But. But again, that's the thing is everybody is that, you know, the game was infected at the time. Maybe not everybody was doing it, but most guys, it would seem, or enough guys.
Those guys didn't deny it 3 times.
Oh, come on, guys always denied it.
With the
hearings.
He tried to lie to us 3 times in 2 different press conferences.
Yeah, which kind of goes back to he's just a different kind of person for some reason.
Shady.
I don't know. Maybe he just lost touch with reality. I couldn't do these wrong things because I'm a good person. No, I don't know. It's just a really, really weird, sad story.
It is. I mean, there's been plenty of other bad guys that have, you know, been in baseball, I'm sure. But, like, he, in an era that everyone knew, everyone was taking steroids, the guy who was at the top of the game had better numbers than pretty much everyone else that he was playing with at the time. Tried lying to us 3 times that he didn't take steroids. Tried pushing off that he only did it in Texas. Came out he was on another report. Tried pushing off that he was done after that. Came out on another report. I mean, when does this stop? When does this stop? But then again,
yeah, no.
You have to think on the was it Bosch? The report, the one in Florida.
Biogenesis.
The latest one. Biogenesis, yes. There were over 100 names on that list. None of those other guys
right.
have 696 home runs. None of those other guys have over 2,000 RBIs. None of those other guys have 3,000 hits.
Okay, but see, that's
but
not fair because those guys do have home runs and they do have hits. They do have RBIs. They don't have as many. That just means he's a better baseball player, which shouldn't he get
right.
some credit
that's
for that? That's like, shouldn't Barry Bonds get credit for just being an amazing baseball player even before everybody knew he was juicing?
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point. They all take steroids and they weren't doing what A-Rod or Barry Bonds were doing. So that I still think both of those guys are on another level. I just find it hard with A-Rod to 'cause you don't know how long he was taking them. Was he doing them in high school? Is that why he was even a phenom to begin with? I mean, who knows?
Yeah, but
we don't know
the extent on any
them.
Of these guys. I mean, they,
you can tell
these
when
guys
started
could still
taking
be
them.
Lying about the specifics of when they started or how much they took or how long they took it.
I don't know, because A-Rod never felt like a guy that just got huge all of a sudden. I mean...
Oh no!
He didn't get bigger.
That's the thing. He was always a big athletic shortstop. But yeah, you're right. He became this weird prototype for an athlete that usually didn't exist to be that big and that athletic and that strong.
Yeah, and I mean, Bonds and what? He was probably going to be a Hall of Fame player before he took steroids. Can we agree on that, right?
No,
I mean,
yeah. Well,
days with the Pirates.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is you don't know when it happened, but I mean, assuming that sometime around the move to San Francisco, then yeah, no. In Pittsburgh,
Bonds
he's a great
got
player.
Huge. I feel like you could tell when Bonds started taking steroids because he just got huge out of nowhere.
That's what I'm saying. You may not know that for sure. Maybe he was taking stuff, but in, you know, amounts to where it wasn't going to be obvious. But then, yeah, he went overboard with it when he decided to go after the home run record.
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's hard to believe that guy. It's really hard to believe that guy.
God, I you're right. It is, because I remember I watched the first interview when he decided to tell the truth for the first time, quote unquote. Yeah, no, it is. It's hard. He just looks shady.
Yeah, and I mean, I wanted to give him a chance. I thought maybe this press conference would be, but it's hard to watch. It just was. Like I said, I feel for the guy. It can't be easy being a star like that, and you just get ridiculed and made fun of by fans all the time. I mean, he probably made
different kind of life.
$500 million in his career, so I'm sure he's fine. But I don't know, man.
Right, and I mean, as far as people being happy that he's leaving, yeah, most of those people are Yankees fans. So they, and the people in the Yankees front office, because they can finally just get rid of him, because it seemed like a great idea at the time, but to redo an already massive contract to even just to agree to pay the original contract from Texas would have been, is just ridiculous. I mean, it's such a long deal. It's kind of like Albert Pujols' deal, but, you know, what are you going to do there?
Yeah. And and they still owe him the 27 mil or however much it is left over the next year, however many games, handful of games. So
right, I'm sure, yeah.
They definitely want to cut their losses.
Yeah, they've been counting the days to get rid of A-Rod and Teixeira, too, I'm sure.
Yes. I got a couple questions here. Do you think A-Rod's playing days are over?
I want to say no. I want to say he nobody signs him the rest of the year, and that he gives it one last shot next year. And he tries to make it onto a team, and he might be with a club early next year, but I say he's back in the minors by June or July, and then that's when he really calls it quits.
Okay, yeah, I definitely couldn't disagree with that. Hoping it's not Miami, but that would probably be the team.
So we can be with his buddy Barry Bonds.
Yeah. Anyway, let's just hire Mark McGwire too.
Right. Yeah. No. Bring him in. Yeah. He assistant hitting coach.
That'll be
in
great.
Charge
that'll
of
great.
Supplements.
Giancarlo starts hitting 700 foot bombs. Anyway.
Oh man.
Second question.
We didn't give
here.
Him anything. We
is
just
Mark...
told him to work out a little more.
yeah.
Oh.
That's,
okay,
that's
so now that Alex Rodriguez
movie.
Has totally railroaded this show.
Yeah, I got one more question, though. Before
oh, right, right. One more.
Here.
One more.
Is Mark Teixeira a Hall of Famer?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I wasn't ready for that at all. Without looking at any numbers and just on based off what I've observed in his career.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
Okay. Yeah. I'd say no too. I know he has 404 home runs, which is a lot for a switch hitter. I think he's a great player. I just don't think he's a Hall of Fame level player. I remember a lot of injuries with him.
Yeah, that's what I remember. I remember, him playing well in Texas, but not really being fantastic. He was supposed to, reach that potential in New York, but of course, New York kind of fell apart. So.
Yeah, he got his World Series ring, both him and A-Rod.
Yeah.
So, they did get that, but I remember Teixeira on those Texas Rangers teams with Michael Young and Hank Blaylock, and they were going to be the next big infield, I thought, and just kind of never seemed to work out too well while Teixeira was there anyway. So kind of a shame. I think maybe if it wasn't for the injuries, maybe he has 500 home runs. I don't know exactly how many games he was hurt for. But.
I mean, that's a fair speculation. You don't know. And that's the other thing is it's hard to say that 500 home runs is an automatic ticket anymore.
You're not wrong, but I think that with all these other guys that steroids were kind of in their era, I think maybe we start to see guys that are kind of on the borderline, like maybe a Teixeira getting in over these guys that have steroids and have been known to be on steroids, and I don't know. It would be interesting to see. I don't know. If they put in a guy like Teixeira and Bonds isn't in there, I don't think that's right at all.
See, yeah, no, and that's – and I don't know. And that's my thing is I wouldn't even necessarily give – you want to give guys the benefit of the doubt if they haven't been caught, but I can't necessarily say for sure that Teixeira wasn't at least on the tail end of that era at one point or another. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
His name ever came up though, but I just,
right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You obviously, you can't, it's hard to, accuse guys, but you never know.
Yeah. You never know. But, I think if, some guys were doing it and getting away with it, why couldn't these other guys,
I don't know.
That's
some,
your problem.
Some guys more careful. Some guys get lucky with tests. I don't know. You know, it's, yeah. I guess it's just one of those things. Sometimes you're Albert Pujols and sometimes you're Ryan Braun.
Basically. So, speaking of Ryan Braun, we haven't really heard that name too much since his whole ordeal went down.
He could have come up in trade discussions the last couple weeks, but I mean, eh.
Yeah, no. So, but since we basically just did the whole show on MLB and steroids and A-Rod,
right? Apparently, we decided to flash back to 2006 to do this show.
Yes, it's a
little throwback.
It's a flashback. It's the flashback,
yeah.
Man.
52.
Good discussion.
So the Olympics, right?
Yeah, the Olympics. Hey, at least we have a week or two more. We have plenty of Olympics to talk about.
Right. Yeah. We'll circle back to the Olympics next week.
hopefully A-Rod doesn't retire again.
So the real question: should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
Yes. He also lied to us, though. He's also kind of a...
Okay, but is Ichiro the Hit King?
Yep.
Yeah, see, I would almost tend to agree there.
I think
especially now that he's got
3,000
in MLB. Oh, yeah, no.
Here.
Right. Obviously, you can't go back and do that. You would hope. That, yeah, that if maybe Ichiro got into the major leagues at 22, 23, maybe things would have been different, but
yeah.
Okay.
And and guess who will make it to the Hall of Fame first?
Definitely Ichiro, yes.
Yes.
It would appear.
I would think so.
But yeah, no, definitely good for Ichiro. Second player ever to have their 3,000th hit be a triple. That was kind of neat. Really would have been, I thought it would have been cooler if it went out, though, just because, you know, he could have been like, ha, there's a home run. Because everybody, you know,
there's a home
everybody knows he can do it. He knows he can do it.
Yeah. Everybody said his whole career he could hit 30, 40 home runs a season if he wanted to. Still
yeah, and,
which
as long as, he said if he hit 220, he could probably hit 40 home runs. If he gave up that much in average, which, right. Why would you do
That's
that?
Crazy.
Why not get him on base?
So that brings us to a more important question. How many guys do you think do that?
Like, could
sacrifice
consciously do
power.
It on purpose? No, I don't know. I don't think a guy like Joey
Bautista.
I'm not saying Joey Bautista couldn't hit for better average if he wasn't trying to hit home runs. He probably could. But I'm saying, yeah, that there are guys that are strictly power hitters that the reason they're hitting 220 is because there's a hole in their swing, not necessarily because they're giving up batting average points to hit the ball farther. No.
You're right. Ichiro,
they're not
Ichiro's
on, they're not on
like
Ichiro's
that.
Level. Yeah.
All right. We did squeeze a couple more minutes of baseball in there. We're good.
Right. We had to, since, you know, the show's going to be over in a few minutes, so.
Yeah, yep. So,
the description almost says nothing about baseball.
That's fantastic, because we were going to talk about a little Katie and Russ banter, too, but.
Right.
That's not how the show rolled at all.
The tweet is going to have to read, don't pay attention to this. It's all about baseball.
I mean, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's flash. It's the flashback show. So
yeah.
Happens.
So how dumb is the NFL?
For
this field business. Did you see what happened? Like, actually?
No, I did not.
Well, they painted the end zones in the middle of the field, right, with this paint. Well, apparently they used the wrong paint. And then they noticed it wasn't drying properly. So they were like, oh, I got a bright idea. To dry this up, let's put some heat on it, right? Let's get it warm so it dries, right? Bad idea, because then the paint just melted into the rubber on the field turf, which also melted, and then it all just kind of congealed together, and for this like goopy thick substance that of course obviously couldn't be ran through comfortably.
Well, I mean, when you
yeah.
Wow, that's, I've never heard anything like that before.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. And apparently they had issues with the playing surface last year. I mean, I vaguely remember talk about that. Like players were upset with it, but you would think.
I mean, where
that,
do they play this?
I don't know if it was the same issue or what, but I don't know. It's just like you would think if you'd had issues with this before, you would go to great lengths to ensure that, you know, this big weekend that you have that culminates in this game would go off without a hitch. But you know.
Yeah, well, if we know anything, we know that the NFL doesn't exactly plan ahead on things, so, yeah.
Yeah, and doesn't exactly respond in the best way to adversity when it's unexpected.
Yeah, I know.
so, yeah, no, definitely terrible, just terrible execution and all around. We were robbed of a fake football game.
We were. I forgot what Aaron Rodgers said earlier, but this one guy for the Packers is going to make his NFL debut, and I was totally excited. I was so excited I couldn't remember his name for the show.
Well, that's I don't know if it was just the way you said it, but it made Aaron Rodgers seem kind of sarcastic and a little mean.
No, Aaron Rodgers is fine, but I mean people do say he's a little mean, so maybe it was a shot at the NFL.
Especially his brother.
Well, I mean he obviously can't get a date.
What?
Something, I don't know.
Anyway, we're talking about basketball. Okay. Well, yeah. No. All right. We're done. We're not going to talk about. Okay. We got picks to make.
We're about to get in the Bachelorette though.
No.
Oh. All right. No.
Hot takes on the Bachelorette. No. Okay. It's
the Bachelorette special.
Okay. Right, United States basketball teams play in Australia. I do a hot tweet real quick. This person said, I know nothing about water polo, but Team USA changed goalies, and the new goalie is way worse, so I'm going to tweet abuse at our coach.
yep, that's the Olympics.
Yeah, you know,
because,
and it's America.
I bet that person doesn't even know how water polo is played. And,
right, exactly. As I said, they know nothing about water polo.
Exactly,
but, changed goalies and bad stuff started happening. So, yeah, we got to blame the coach. And you know, because it's America, we got to tweet at him. So
that works. Mine was actually just a video. All it says is, ouch. And it was the cyclist that wrecked her bike after she took the lead.
Yeah,
and
that was
awful.
Pretty funny.
It was awful.
Another side note.
Found out she was okay.
Right, good. I'm glad she's okay. Since we are just, taking everything way too far, did you see the Vine of Paul George taking a drink of water and then trying to put it behind his back to give to somebody to take it, but nobody take it because he's not playing the NBA game?
That was hot tweet number two. Yep, that was hot tweet number two.
Okay, let's do these picks. Let's do these picks real quick. USA, Australia.
Oh, in basketball. USA.
Yeah.
USA, but we should have done, like, a margin of victory. Like.
Yeah, you're right.
I think they're
going
to win by 35 to 42 points. 35 to 42 points.
You can't pick a window.
Oh.
What if I wanted to say 40 to 46?
41 points.
Okay, 41. I'm going to say 37.
All right.
Delhi's going to hit a shot at the end that's not going to count.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he scored 24 and had 13 assists tonight.
Yeah, the best game of his life. Better than in the NBA game he's ever had.
Yep. Yep.
All right. Wow. I forgot to look up and see who the Chiefs and Eagles are playing.
Eagles play Buccaneers on Thursday at 6. I'm going to go the Eagles, because why not?
I'm going to go the Bucks.
Ooh, you would.
Yep.
All right. Well, on Saturday at 3:30, the Chiefs host the Seattle Seahawks. I'm going to go the Seahawks.
Sure, I'll go the Chiefs.
All right, and our last pick here is baseball game. And?
Indians Nationals?
Indians Nationals. Max Scherzer and Trevor Bauer. I'm going with the Nationals.
I'm also going to go Nationals.
And you got an upset?
Yeah, D-backs over Mets on Thursday.
The D-backs over the Mets. All right. Well, my upset, I don't know if we can really do upsets in NFL preseason, but I'm going the Raiders over the Cardinals.
Oh, so, I